بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم إن لله أهلين من الناس. قالوا من هو يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ قال أهل القرآن هم أهل الله وخاصته. رواه النسائي وابن ماجه والحاكم وأحمد. The translation of which is, Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for Allah, from amongst the people, there are some who are those of the household, the Sahaba, Ridwanullah ta'ala ajma'in, asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are those people? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, men of the Qur'an, they are the household of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are His favored ones or His special ones. Men of the Qur'an are those who always remain occupied with the Qur'an Majid and have got a special attachment to it. Thus such people of the household of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His favorite is evident. It is therefore clear from the foregoing that as long as such people always remain occupied with the Qur'an and Majid, special favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to be conferred upon them. Certainly, those who live in the constant company do become as one of the household as well. Like we are sitting, alhamdulillah, in the company of Hazrat Shaykh Hazrat Jimmy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to be in his company all the time, inshaAllah ta'ala. With a great honor, it is, what a great honor it is to belong to his household, to be reckoned amongst the men of Allah, and to become his favorites, with such little striving and endeavor. What sacrifices of comfort and money are not made by people for the admittance of worldly courts, to be elected as members, as members of an assembly. They flatter the voters and bear all sorts of humiliations. Yet they consider all this a worthwhile pursuit. But the endeavors from the Quran is considered as, but the endeavors for the Quran Sharif is considered as a waste of time and energy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, and O Allah, we make dua that make us from the household of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We continue with this kitab here. We are discussing number 174. If you want to befriend a person, first inquire about his piety, actions and thoughts. It should not happen that due to the effect of his company, you become spoiled. As Hadith says, obviously if you stay in the company of good people, you will get good, inculcate good habits, and if you live with the evil, you will only inculcate evil habits. If perchance you become angry with someone, then ensure that within 3 days your anger terminates. Then meet him. To abstain speaking from him after 3 days is a sin. Whoever meets first is entitled to a greater reward. At least if you can make salam to him, you initiate the salam inshallah ta'ala. Do not have bad thoughts about anyone. Do not search for faults. Do not have jealousy and hatred for one another. Never break ties. Do not rival with one another in worldly matters. Live like brothers. If two people are upset with one another, then attempt to unite them. If someone seeks pardon from you, then forgive his faults. Whatever work you wish to do, then ponder carefully. Keep in mind the end result and fulfill the work meticulously. And haste, many work is spoilt. If someone has to consult you in any matter, then advise him with that which you feel is the best for him in your opinion. But you feel that you cannot give him the advice and refer him to somebody who may be an expert in that field. A wise person is he who is experienced. Be moderate in all matters. Spend in moderation, and planning is half of livelihood. Being beloved in the eyes of people is half of intellect. Asking a question in a good manner is half of knowledge. Meet people with noble character and be gentle with them. Meeting people, assisting them, being patient and remaining steadfast upon the difficulties which they afflict upon you is better than protecting oneself by sitting in solitude and not being of benefit to anyone. However, if one cannot control himself, then he is excused. Control your anger as much as possible. Live with humility, never have pride. Ask people forgiveness if you have done any wrong to them, whether verbally or in any way. Otherwise, there will be great problems on the day of Qiyamah, because that will be regarded as huququl ibad, and Allah Ta'ala will take us to task for that on the day of Qiyamah. Continue advising one another to do good. Prohibit one another from evil. If one feels that there is no hope that the other will accept his advice, or he feels that the other will cause him harm, then it is permissible to remain silent. However, one must regard the evil to be evil in the heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us practical inshaAllah ta'ala, and let us be different people when we leave from here inshaAllah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khairu jaza.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. This is an ayat of the Quran Sharif, and which is in the first supara of the third ruku, and this is the first command of Allah Ta'ala in the whole Quran Sharif. From the beginning, this is the first command which Allah Ta'ala had given. The first ruku, Alif Lam Mim, Allah describes the qualities of the mu'mineen, mukhlisin, the true believers who they are. And then in two short ayats, Allah explains about the kuffar, the non-believers. These two groups are very distinct from one another, the believers and the non-believers. They are very distinct, and Allah has described, given a brief description of who they are. The next ruku is a long ruku, about 13 ayats or so, and in there Allah discussed the munafiqeen only. This is a grey group, in between group, which are not la ilaha ula wa la ilaha ula. And the reason for discussing them and in so much of detail is that we must be able to recognize these munafiqeen. They are very dangerous. They are the most dangerous. The kuffar are the enemy from outside. The munafiqeen are the enemy from inside. That clearly explains how dangerous they are. And this group is so dangerous also, and the qualities of a munafiq, that if a person is not careful, these qualities can come in him also very easily. Therefore also Allah has discussed it in detail, so that qualities of munafiqs mustn't come into us, and we must save ourselves from the munafiqs. And these are the people which Allah Ta'ala says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, from amongst the ordinary people, مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, that we believe in Allah also, we believe in the last day. They will tell you like that. When? But in actual fact, the وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, they are not believers. So they are such dangerous people. Outwardly they'll read kalima, they'll make damas, they'll even keep roza. All amal, they will be with you. But in actual fact, there is an iman in their hearts. So this is a very, very dangerous group. And from inside, they will cause a lot of problems for individuals and for the Muslim community at large also. So therefore, we have to be very careful of this group. And Allah Ta'ala has explained them in detail. Who these people are. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They try and deceive Allah also. So dangerous they are. Who can deceive Allah Ta'ala? And يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And they want to deceive the believers also. They should come to watch stories to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also. Until today they are present. They are always causing trouble. They built their own masjid, Masjid-e-Dharar. What things they had done. So this will remain forever. Till Qiyamah there will be the group of the munafiqeen also. Who will appear dressed, topi, beard, everything they'll have. But inside they won't have any iman. So Allah discuss them in detail. And till Qiyamah, there can only be these three groups. The open, clear, genuine Muslims, and the open, clear, non-believers. And all the in-between groups, whether they are Shias who say we are Muslims, but they are not Muslims. Whether they are Qadianis who say we are Muslims, but they are not Muslims. Then this nifaq, hypocrisy also is of different levels. Some are complete munafiq, some have got some signs of nifaq, hypocrisy in them. So all the groups that will come till the day of Qiyamah, if they are not genuine Muslims, they are not open kafirs, but then they are the in-between groups. So Allah discuss them so that we can be on our guard and we can safeguard ourselves also. That these qualities of nifaq and hypocrisy must not come into us. Then the third ruku, the first ayat, and this is the first command, Allah said, Ya Yuhannas, oh all people, whether you are the true believers, whether you are the kuffar, whether you are the munafiq, if you want your success, you have to do one thing. U'budu Rabbakum, worship your Rabb. That is what you have to do. Worship, there are various meanings of worship from the Quran Sharif. One is worship, which we all know, ibadat, namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. We all know, we must do that. And when a person does these things, and he carries on with the effort to bring the reality, the essence, then also ikhlas will come in a person. If a person makes his namaz always bowing down to Allah, and he realizes, I'm putting my head down, my heart down, I'm bowing. Sajda, I'm putting my head in front of Allah Ta'ala. Then all his own ideas and all his own wrong things, they will go away. It will bring all this within a person. The zikr of La ilaha illallah, that it is a person who says 100 times La ilaha illallah a day, his face will shine like the 14th full moon on the day of Qiyamah. So by the zikr, our Shaykh Jazahumullah Khair has explained that the moon is always full. It's one complete, it's one celestial body. It is there. But due to the movements of the earth, the sun, the moon, etc., the earth comes in between the sun and the moon. So now the sun, the light of the sun doesn't fall on the moon. So therefore it is dark, you can't see it. And only then it starts with that little crescent. And then over 15 days the earth moves again in its rotation out of the way. And then the full light of the sun is on the moon. Now the moon is a full moon. Then when the next half of the month, again this earth starts moving in its way. Till the end of the month when you don't see the moon at all again. So like that, Allah's light shines, a light is shining on us. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. But our nafs comes in between. And how much our nafs is in between, we are blocking that light of Allah Ta'ala, that nur of Allah to fall onto our hearts. How much a person makes effort repeating La ilaha illallah, all our matters of deen, even La ilaha illallah, then the nafs starts moving out. And when it moves out completely, the full light of Allah now shines on the heart of that person. Then that person gets full benefit. So when the nafs is in the way, then a person is weak in namaz, ibadat, everything. his life is bad, he's doing wrong things. So as we move it out, we make effort all the time. And we just carry on with our zikr also. Even just 100 times a day to say La ilaha illallah doesn't take 4 minutes also. It takes less than 4 minutes. But if we do it with concentration and we do it properly, this will cause the nafs to move out. And more of Allah's light will come. As that light will come, we will find out how that we are now becoming regular in namaz. Our concentration is coming in namaz now. All our other ibadat. And as the darkness is moving out, we'll see our bad habits are going out now. Whatever bad habits we had, whether it is of missing namaz, whether it was our language, whether it was our attitude, whatever, all that will go out until the time comes that the full light. So this is ibadat. All ibadat. Tilawat of Quran Sharif is ibadat. A person who does his tilawat regularly, understanding the meaning or without understanding. There is no doubt that with understanding there is much more benefit. But that is correct understanding. This doesn't mean that we start now applying our own knowledge and taking out our own meanings. No, with the correct understanding, then a person benefits tremendously. But even without understanding, a person who just carries on regularly with his recital, he will see that deen will come into his life. The yaqeen and aqeedah of akhirat, of Allah, will become stronger. By reading of this all the time, by reading about Aad, Thamud, that people who disobeyed Allah, how they became unsuccessful. A person will see it with his eyes, that when we in obedience of Allah, our success is in there. So every matter, so that is ibadat. Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nas ubudu rabbakum. The second meaning of ibadat, which the Quran Sharif itself has explained, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ أي إِلَّا لِيَعْرِفُونَ. Yeah, ibadat means to recognize Allah Ta'ala. So this is also the first command of Allah, recognition of Allah Ta'ala. In the Quran Sharif, Allah's ibadat and Allah's ma'rifat, recognition. So this is also a command of Allah. And many of us, our Shaykh Allah reward Hazrat tremendously and raise his stages all the time, that Hazrat brought it to our notice that we have to recognize Allah. We read it in the kitabs also, but we did not take notice of it. Other ulama, our ustads, explained it also, but we did not take notice of it. It is like, for example, once I needed a key to be made, a duplicate key. And then I found this locksmith, and it was a small little shop sort of tucked away between other shops. So I told him when I went, I passed here so many times, I never saw your shop. So he says, still you don't need me, you don't notice me. When you need me, you look all the time. You're seeing, but you're not seeing. But now when you really need, then you see. Okay? So like that, Hazrat opened our eyes. Our other ustads in the kitabs all came about Allah's ma'rifat. But we never took notice of it. Hazrat took us to the shop of ma'rifat, opened it for us also. And then we realized. So that is a very, very important command of Allah to the ma'rifat of Allah. And Allah's recognition is so full in the Quran Sharif. We will carry on with that a little bit, just complete the other meanings first. Ibadat of Allah Ta'ala is also abdiyat, that humility must come in a person. A person, by making ibadat, if pride comes, then it is like he's driving a Rolls Royce, but on the road to Jahannam. And if he's got, even if he's making little ibadat, and humility is coming, then he might be driving a Toyota Tez, but he's driving it to Jannah. And if what pride coming in, we'll be riding a Rolls Royce, but to Jahannam. So, abdiyat also must come. And then we must become an abd of Allah. By abdiyat, become a total slave of Allah. And a slave is one who has got no choice, no desire even of his own. His desire he has, but he overcomes his desire. Like to understand this very simply, Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah ali bought a slave, brought the slave home, asked the slave, what will you eat? The slave said that the slave got no choice. Whatever the master will give it to eat, it will eat. Then, where will you sleep? say the slave got no choice. Wherever the master will give it place to sleep, it will sleep. Many questions like this. Then Hazrat Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Ali set the slave free. That you have taught me how to be a slave of my Allah. So by ibadat is to become a slave of Allah. That we don't have any choice. Allah said, 30th roza, 30th, today will be 30th. I got no choice. Not that we're going to fight with Allah. I'm cross. I'm upset. That why you made 30 roza. No, your command, we accept it. Allah should make 29. Your command, we accept it. Whatever Allah's command is, a person accepts it. And this year of the sighting of the moon, Allah has also kept a test for us till Qiyamah. That who will want to go on their own desires and who will submit to Allah's will. Allah has kept a few things like that, that no matter where technology goes, but this will be the law of Allah Ta'ala. That you accept my law. So that is a slave who accepts wholeheartedly. Your desire, you might be a bit unhappy, but in what my desire is doesn't matter. I can be unhappy, but what you want, Ya Allah. That is a true relationship of a murid with the Shaykh also. That I have my desires, but whatever you say, wholeheartedly I accept. With the student, what is ustad? Children, with their parents. So this abdiyat must also come. And we must become an abd of Allah. To keep the name Abdullah is easy. But to become Abdullah, that is something else. If a person becomes Abdullah, he has achieved everything. To keep the name Abdurrahman is easy. But to make the child Abdurrahman, that is something else. So that we are the slaves of Allah. To understand what does bandagi mean? What does it mean to be a slave? We use our own opinion. We give vent to our own desires. Manchahi zindagi, we want to pass. And we don't want to accept the laws of Allah. No, this has to come into a person. So, it is ibadat of Allah, which what we understand. It is the ma'rifat of Allah. It is abdiyat, humility. And from there we become a slave of Allah. And another fifth meaning, that we must make Allah's ibadat, your 24 hours being Allah's ibadat. And that is not difficult also, not at all. Islam is that beautiful deen that has made it possible for us that 24 hours you are in ibadat of Allah. 7 days a week, 12 months of the year, your whole life. إِنَّ صَلَاتِ وَنُسُكِ وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ My namaz, all my ibadat, my living, my dying is all for... That is the height of everything. And Islam has made it very easy. Islam has prohibited that we go to monasteries and we become nuns and monks like the Christians. And that was something that مَا كَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ We did not make that for us. They doing it all themselves, all those. And what a person does with his own choice can never be practical. Allah did not make that for us. Neither did Allah make it for us you stay in the khanqah whole life. Neither did Allah make it for us that you stay in jamaat whole life. All that, no. Allah did not. In fact, our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, in one hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, وَجَبَتْ مُحَبَّتِي That Allah has declared, hadith Qudsi, that my love, I have made it compulsory, that person must get my love. 5 types of people. وَجَبَتْ مُحَبَّتِي لِلْمُتَحَابِينَ فِيَّا Those who love one another for my sake. You love one another, you love your Shaykh, the Shaykh loves his murids, that is only for Allah's pleasure. When it is based on that, and 99% it is based on that. Perhaps if we got some wrong intention, then that is different. Why we came for itikaf, why we came to spend time. But generally, it is in the love. And the Shaykh, he gives his time for his murid because he loves them. He wants the best out of them. That is why perhaps he will shout also. Sometimes he will laugh also. Sometimes he will cry and make you also cry. Sometimes he'll make you, but that love. So Allah says for such people, my muhabbat is wajib for those people. Compulsory. And then again, your muhabbat must not only be in your heart. You are in the east of the world. Your shaykh is in the west of the world. No connection. No. Walil mutazawirina fiya. Walil mutajalisina fiya. That you come away and you come in sit with your shaykh also. That is why this mashallah occasion of i'tikaf, and actually khanqah should be 12 months of the year. When you get a chance, you come to your shaykh, you sit with him again, you spend a week, you spend 2-3 days, you spend a month, whatever time, lil mutajalisin fiya. Now when you come and sit also, now don't sit all the time also. Hey, Shaykh also got other taqazas also. So he's also a human being, he's not an angel. You also got other taqazas. Your wife also has got a taqaza. Your business has got a taqaza. Yourself also. So just see how beautiful the teachings of our deen. That don't sit all the time by your Shaykh. Walil mutazawirin fiyya. Mutazawirin means ziyarat, coming and going. A person, our Shaykh Damat bin Rahmatullah used to say that one murid went to his Shaykh and the Shaykh noticed from the window that there are 21 chickens in the fowl run. So he made his niyat, I'm staying here 21 days. Every day one chicken I'll be having. So the murid sees one day passed, 2 days, 3 days is the haq of the mehman. Then we have the right to ask him to leave also. Then he said, Shaykh, Hadrat, and he started crying. So why are you crying so much? Hadrat, you'll never come again. Why are you making bad gumani on me? Why I won't come? I will definitely come again. I'll come and I'll come over and over again. He says, when you're not going, then how will you come? You're not talking of going, you're just staying put here, you're not moving. So don't stay like that, don't make it heavy on anyone also. Eh? Neither must the Shaykh impose on the murid, neither must the murid also make it heavy. All the time just with the Shaykh, not giving him a breather in his life also. That also is not correct. So, walil mutazawirin fiyya, walil mutabazilin fiyya, and to spend money on one another, to spend time, to give to one another, that also by all, and one more, four. By that then, Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat becomes wajib on that person. So our whole life, Islam made it, you don't have to stay your whole life in the khanqa. You don't have to stay your whole life in the markaz, in jamaat, in darul ulum. No, share your time. How beautiful Islam is distributed everything. But what is the important thing? Your niyat must be there. In the morning you get up, you get to Muslim, mashallah, he's up for tahajjud, otherwise for fajr he's up. A genuine Muslim, by fajr he's up, so you get up, you make your fajr. You came home, you have your little tea, breakfast, whatever you have. And that also make niyat in that. You're having some, perhaps your breakfast, so that may have strength in my body, and my body can carry on with my day. You go to your business, 8 hours you spend at your business, 10 hours, I'm going to earn halal rozi. I will spend it on myself because Allah made it. This is farida ba'd al-farayd. It is a faraz after all the other. So that is also, I'm fulfilling a faraz to earn my rozi. Rozi, and your niyat is correct. You go to the khanqa also, you go in jamaat also, you correct your iman also. That my shop doesn't give rozi. But the sabab Allah made, whatever sabab Allah makes, your office, whatever you do, you're a painter, you're a carpenter, you're a what tradesman. That is my means, but rozi only Allah gives. And we see it so many times, how many of our deals go sour? And we say, I lost millions here. But still Allah is giving. So if that shop was and that millions you suffered, then you should have been finished. But Allah gives, you're an ordinary tradesman, and you did some job for somebody, and they were supposed to pay you 500, which is a lot of money for you, as an ordinary person. That person did you down. He didn't pay you. Hey, now you, but your life is still carrying on. Allah is giving rosy. So we realize this. So our yaqeen is correct. You do your 8, 10 hours of your business, your income, whichever form. But your yaqeen is correct. All that is, in fact, you make more ibadah. I'll spend on myself. It's my faraz. It's on my family. Allah made it my duty to spend on my family. And I keep them nice and comfortable. It's more better than giving charity outside. To look after your family is your first faraz. Don't waste on them. Not extravagant. But more than giving in a darul ulum, masjid, to other poor people, widows, you spend on your own family. This is the biggest charity. It starts at home. You spend nicely on them. You make this niyat on my neighbors, on other people I'll spend. Now that business of yours, you are so much engrossed in business, it's becoming a bigger ibadah. I will spend on madrasas, I'll spend on darul ulums. That business of yours is becoming a bigger. I will go for hajj, I will go for umrah. I will send other people for hajj umrah. I will help people. I will sponsor students to become hafiz, alim, etc. In all the different ways. Somebody want to go in jamaat, what the mashura of the elders, how to help the person, there is ways to help. Don't spoil his iman by helping him also. See that you don't buy your 2,000 rand and you spoil this iman. That also should not be the case. Look after it. And then now the business of yours is becoming a bigger ibadat. So in this way Islam has taught us your 8-10 hours in your business is also an ibadat. And Allahu Akbar. The more, and then also remember, keep on coming to the Khanka to build our inside also. One person, a buzurg, sahib, a kashf, whom Allah showed things which other people can't see. He was in Makkah Sharif and he saw one person at the Multazam, the place between the Hajar Aswad and the door, which is the place which du'as are readily accepted, with his hand stretched on the Kaaba and making du'a and crying, and his outside outward form you can see. This man is so deep in du'a. When he cast his eyes on his heart, he saw he's totally unmindful of Allah. Making a show that he's making, that people must see that he's having. And today they'll even take your photo and video you also. How you were crying at Kaaba Sharif. But all you wanted, that video must be made. That the world must see how pious you are. Eh? So nothing. He went from there in the bazaars of Makkah. And a person doing business and serving 10 people at one time. Gave this person goods, he has to give change, he has to collect money there, return, take the goods back. 10 people he's serving, but his heart is all the time connected with Allah. So dunya, we will see that person is in dunya serving 10 people making, but he's 100%. So by niyat and the inside being made, our whole 10 hours of our business, 8 hours will become also deen. Then when you come home, for example, normal hours situation with your wife, children, you sit, you talk, make your niyat. To make the tarbiyah, to make muhabbat with them, sit with, that also becomes ibadat. Then you made all your 5 times namazes, which was on its place. Then you're sleeping now 6 hours, 8 hours you're sleeping. There also your niyat is, your body, wali nafsika alayka haq. Your body has got a right on you. You are giving your body your rest. I will get up for fajr. Maulana Masihullah sahab rahmatullah alayhi explained, a mu'min is 24 hours in namaz. You made your fajr, a mu'min's worry is now zuhar. My next namaz, I must be back for zuhar. So your worry started, your niyat, I have to come back for zuhar. You in zuhar namaz already. When you got that fikr, you are in zuhar namaz already. So the whole 7-8 hours that will pass between fajr and zuhar, but you are in zuhar. And even you're a traveler, you're a rep, where will I get my zuhar? Where will I get it? With jamaat, even more better, though you're a traveler. Jamaat not faraz in, you can read on your own, but you got this worry. So you're getting all the time, that 7-8 hours passing, you're getting the sawab of jamaat namaz. You finished your zuhar, mu'min's next worry, ma'asar I must make. Finish asar, maghrib. Finish maghrib, isha. Finish isha, now you're putting your alarm clock. You're telling your wife, must make sure I get up. Eh? You phone your friend, you must come in, you must phone me. You must pick me up for fajr. So 24 hours he's in ibadat also. So ibadat, Allah said, make ibadat, you 24 hours in ibadat. You go visit your family, ibadat. You take a rest, ibadat, for your body needs a rest also. Everything, so our niyat, everything can fall into place. And if we make our niyat like that, we are invited to a wedding. Now we see, but yeah, there is going to be mixing of sexes. There is going to be video. So now it won't be ibadat. So you make an excuse, you go before time, don't be rude and harsh also. Go and visit them 2 days before, 3 days, take a present also. Tell them, excuse me, I won't be able to come. And in a nice, not a holier than thou attitude, but these things here, doesn't agree with me. It's not in my system. Our Sharia doesn't allow. So I won't be able to come. But we are family, and you give them a present, they'll feel happy also. And you maintain the relations also, and you stayed away from the haram also. Eh? Your wife bought a doll for your daughter, with eyes and everything on it, which is not jais. Now don't just take it, grab it, throw it in the fire, throw it out of the window. Our sheikh say, go and buy another more expensive, better toy, which is jais. And present that, then take this one away. So in a way, don't break the hearts of the people also. And also, be like silk. Silk is so soft. that everyone enjoys. Everyone must enjoy what you say. But it is so strong that two elephants pulling it apart can't break silk. And who makes the silk? Not some big industries and some big factories. The silkworm, where the mulberry leaf is making silk all the time. Making silk. And the universities go and learn from the silkworm how silk is made. They didn't know you knew silkworm till today, where I've got a big doctorate degree, that how to make silk. But the doctorate of the universities go and learn from them and see how they are making silk. So ibadat, 24 hours. So what a command Allah gave us. And in this way our whole life can be ibadat. You go for hajj is ibadat. You go for a weekend with your family, everything within the limits of Sharia, not overdoing it. Is that ibadat also? Everything can become ibadat. So Allah says, and then Allahu Akbar. This Allah said, O'budu Rabbakum. Whose ibadat must you make? Your Rabb's ibadat. Rabbakum, your Rabb. Who is Rabb? Rabb is your creator who brought you into existence from nothing. The scientists say matter cannot be created, matter cannot be destroyed. But matter Allah creates as He wants to, when He wants to. Allah destroys matter as He wants to. Let science say what they want to. Allah is the sole being and everything is in the hands of Allah. And Allah does as He wishes. For example, glaring examples of this. Mozambique, Zimbabwe, known to be poor countries till recently. But now they found diamonds there. How come they didn't find them before? They were there all the time. Were they there all the time? They were not there. Allah put it there. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوْعَدُونَ. Your rosy is in the heaven. When Allah wants to, He deposits it. Otherwise, before also, there were people who were experts to know from the soil whether there is minerals under that soil. From the top of the soil, just like from the face of a person, you can see what is in the heart of that person. The eyes are windows into the soul of a person. The eyes are windows into the heart of a person. And people who are experienced and experts in that field. One friend of mine, mashallah, very big businessman in diamond, in gold mining and diamond mining, one of our neighboring countries, he said there are two ways we can find out what is in the ground. Either these people who have got this experience or with the aeroplanes now with technology. They just fly over and they scan the whole earth. And they can see whether there are diamonds there, whether there is gold there, whether there is coal there, whatever. Here in Mozambique, the Tet area, now the amount of coal they have found. How come they didn't know of it before? Allah puts it where, so Allah creates that matter. And when Allah wants to, He removes it. And then there are no more diamonds left, no more gold left. That is all in the hands of Allah. So anyway, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah said, He is your Rabb, the one who brought you into existence from non-existence. He made you, you were nothing whatsoever. At one time, you were not shay'an madhkura also. Not even something spoken about. If you are 40 years old today, 41 years ago, your parents didn't speak about you. When your mother conceived, then they started talking. I think I'm expecting, go for a test, check out. The gynecologist confirmed it. 40 years ago, there were no gynecologists also. But anyway, he confirmed it. Now, yes, there is. Now they start talking, I hope it's a boy, it's a girl. We have got only boys. If now Allah gives us a girl, whatever, we'll keep this name, we'll make him like this, we'll make her like that. Now you are being spoken about. And how Allah made you in the womb of your mother, that is Rabb. That from absolutely nothing, now the whole mother's biology changed, the whole everything. Now she's spewing every morning. Her whole system is changing. Now she doesn't want to eat. Now certain smells are so, she just can't take that. Her whole anatomy has changed now. And then afterwards the child is formed. And what a whole detail of all that also. And the formation of a child, a Canadian doctor many years ago wrote a book on the formation of a child within the womb of a mother. And in there he explained everything in detail what medical science knew that time, today even more they know. Anyway, he wrote his book. At the end of the book he appealed to anyone in the world who can throw more light on this subject. But it mustn't be from a medical point of view. He said that we have got everything from any other source. A Malaysian doctor wrote to him and all the ayats of the Quran Sharif. That how Allah explains how the child, he was completely baffled and he accepted Islam. And the book that I read of his was his third edition when he had accepted Islam. And till today, most of the medical schools, they teach his book as a textbook till today still. That how Allah Ta'ala, what's it in the 18th Subhanah? First page. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينَ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطَفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينَ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا النُّطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُضْغَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُضْغَةَ عِظَامًا فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرَ فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. الله أكبر. سبحان الله. هذا خلق الله فأروني ماذا خلق الذين من دون. This is Allah. Show me what did the other people besides Allah, what did they make? What did the idols make? What did anyone else? This is Allah's creation. So anyway, how many ayats of the Quran? So that is Rabb. Rabb is that before you came in this world, Allah made all your arrangements for your food, for your education, for everything. We are so worried. Allah has made everything. Our rosy is moving at a speed of 40 days in front of us all the time. Our rosy was written here for 10 days. Allah sent the rosy. When we were studying in Dioban, our Dasturkhan, we had a beautiful poem written on it. The poem was, Ghamgin na ho mehman se. Don't be sad because visitors came, they're going to eat up your food. Ghamgin na ho mehman se, kha rahe hai risk apna, tere Dasturkhan se. Everyone is eating his own rosy, but at your Dasturkhan. Everyone who came here, your last drop of water, you came with it, Allah sent it 40 days before you. But Allah made it, now you'll tell us, oh, you made our khidmat, so nice, you cooked and fed us. But do we make Allah's shukr? Yeah, it was just the outward form, that we got the things ready, put it, and that also by Allah's tawfiq. But the doer is only Allah. Do we recognize, when we sit at home and we eat, Allahu Akbar, whatever food, from where and where it comes. If you just take your vegetable salad as a starter you start with. That cucumber, which farmer grew it? And then again, which tractors work there? Which companies make fertilizer for that? How many laborers work there? How many trucks convey that the cucumbers to the market? And then how many at the market? The whole big, what a noise carries on at the market. Selling of the goods, all that. Going to the retailers, wholesalers. From there you go and buy. Who did this? And then it's not only cucumber you're eating. You're eating lettuce. That's again another complete different farm. And how many people working in that farm? And they again, they say, for our rosy, our cucumber farm, our lettuce farm, whatever it is. Then you had onions also in there. You put some olives also in there. You put some cottage cheese also in there. You put little avocado also in there. You put Allahu Akbar, peppers also in there. How many things? Then you spiced it also. You seasoned it also with some salt, some vinegar. Allah, just in there. And then your next what you come, you're having now some samosas or some pies. It's mind-boggling. And all this 40 days before, the last detail of everything. And what is not in your share, you will not get even if you put it in your mouth. Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpur Rahmatullah used to explain, your two-year-old child will come, push his finger in your mouth and take it out. And he'll eat it again. And what is in your taqdeer, which you don't want to eat, you don't like the sweets now. You want to eat your food now, that's sweet. The child will come and push that sweet in. And till you don't take it, he won't leave you. And you'll have to eat, he'll make sure you eat it. What Allah shows you that small child, he will give you what is in your share. You don't want to eat, you are health conscious. I mustn't eat sweets now. It's no good. But the child will make sure you eat it. That is Allah. Rabbukum. Allahu Akbar. Allah is that Rabb who gave us our eyes. Who gave us our brains, how the eyes are functioning. That today one doctor cannot tell you in optometry how many types of fields of studies there are. The brain, neurology, Allahu Akbar. How many doctors there are, what things. Bone marrow is a separate field of its own. All these things here, every part of the body. When we were small, we knew one GP finish. He's sufficient for everything. No blood test also.
No, nothing. Just from his shelf, he give you medicine and you get better also. Now you go to 10 doctors and you go to, you have so many blood tests and still we can't understand what's happening here. But anyway, this human body, how Allah has made, there is only one thing, the human body, and then the whole world, the earth, if you have to study geography, geology, the formation of the earth, the different types, the structures of the earth, the structures of rock, etc., that is Rabb who has made all this. And Allah's work is all the time. And for Allah, this is not even child's play. This is nothing for Allah. So great is Allah, running this whole affairs of the world. We say that certain country, their infrastructure is very good. This company's infrastructure, all that is from Allah Ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala, how He has made, for example, the 360 joints in the body. Now if we have to discuss all 360, we'll need 360 days. And that also, wow, just briefly, just the one joint, this elbow joint. If this joint was not here and your hand was straight, all these joints, how many are there? Perfect, no gout, no arthritis. You took the food in your fingers. And if this joint was not here, your hand was straight, try your best to bring the food to your mouth. Or take your mouth to your food. Whole day and night you can try. And if you think I'm just bluffing you, making some drama, you can try now. And if you are shy, then go and do it privately afterwards. Tonight you'll be going home most, so go and do it at home. But don't do it in front of the wife. The wife will say, now you came from Ahtikaf, Maulana made the jadu on you. What you doing whole time like this here? So go in the bathroom and lock the door and put the light off also. Maybe she's peeping from the keyhole. And all night you can try to bring your fingers to your mouth or take your mouth to your finger. You won't succeed. Just this one joint. And this one joint, no oiling and greasing, no servicing. No, after 15,000 movements, you have to go for service now. Put new ball bearings or put new oil in the heavy. Whole life you're using it. And not only this one joint, Allahu Akbar, every joint in the body. And when we get a pain in one little, the toe we get a pain, God, Allah save us all. Just the bed sheet have to touch it and you scream. What pain? Who is this? Who is the controller? Who is the maker, the maintainer of all this? None other. So mustn't you make his ibadah? Isn't it logical you must make your ibadah? Without him you can do nothing. Your boss pays you 10,000 rand, 20, 50,000 rand a month. I must be loyal to my boss. The boss says, I'm putting up your wages 100%. Oh, you're over the moon. You're earning 25, now I'm earning 50, you are over them, you can't wait to tell your wife you are so happy. But he says there's a condition, when I go to toilet you'll have to come and wash me also. You'll say no problem, because you are getting double the amount, so no problem. So when Allah is telling you, why we have a problem that make five times namaz? What hasn't Allah given us? What haven't we got from Allah? And this also understand that we have got no right to say, I think. What is my thinking in front of Rabb, my Allah? He is the one who has made my brain also. He is the one who gives me everything. Why don't we submit totally to Allah? Become a die heart of Allah. That is what he wanted. That is a waliullah. And it's logical. Every human must become a wali of Allah. Become a die heart of Allah. Allah has done everything for us. We must turn 100% to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He is the one who gave us everything. Allah ta'ala is the one that when we were born, no teeth in the mouth. Because the game wasn't on. And if you see your mouth, if you open your mouth like this, it's a pavilion, like the sports pavilion. Exactly like that, your mouth is like that. And these are all where the teeth are, the seats in the pavilion. But there is no game, so there are no spectators. There is no one who has come to see because there is no game. Now when the game starts, with little curtain raises, some matches before the main cup final, all the other some one, two games are there. Now then the milk teeth come now. Those spectators come there. Now when the real game comes, the samosas and the biryani, now the real teeth come. And then again the teeth, Allahu Akbar. If we had to work out, we should perhaps think, when the child is 1 year old, then the tooth must be 1 millimeter. When it's 10 years, 10 millimeters. When it's 20, 25, now it's 2.5 centimeters. The top tooth also and the bottom tooth. And that's the age normally boys and girls get married. Now you have decided on a certain girl, you want to go and see her now. And your mouth is with 2.5 centimeter teeth, top and bottom. And at that time, you smile a bit also. She'll run from the whichever exit she can find that my parents are getting me married to a human or to a bulldozer, to this earth-moving machines. But no problem, she also should be sitting with so big teeth. And she also should be smiling little. And you also should think, who I want to marry, a bulldozer? Or I want to marry, my life I must spend, and when you're 80 years, 8 centimeters you are talking. And who is it that bring, do we have to go to the orthodontist, and he files our teeth? No. Who brings it to one, and if we're conscious, and there's a whole subject on of its own, our correct eating habits, our oral hygiene, we look after it without having dentures, or false teeth, implants, natural age of 80, your teeth are still perfect. If we clean and look after, Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, one place, after meals, somebody came to the host and said, tell Hazrat to make tahnik. So he said, please, not now, man. Because Hazrat just ate, finished, and he takes 10 minutes cleaning his mouth after meals. And nothing goes in his mouth till the next meal again. We all the time, this sweet, this chocolate, we sleep with a sweet in the mouth. You're destroying your whole health. Your mouth, you're destroying. The mouth is the opening of the cave for your whole stomach. If you look after your mouth, you look after your stomach. The stomach is the house of diseases. Is a whole storeroom of diseases. We pushing in diseases with our bad eating habits. We just ate, finished. Now put something else in the mouth. Today we go 2 kilometers somewhere, we have to take some pot coswell. Now we can't do. Other people of the world get shocked at how the South Africans carry on. As if we were born to eat. Our Sheikh Maulana Palanpuri Rahmatullahi used to say, what our lifestyle has become, din ko kamana, to earn during the day. Raat ko khana, we have a good meal only once at night now. No breakfast is a proper meal, no lunch. We have a good, in the morning, subah ko pakhana. First thing we go toilet when we get up. Now we're hungry again, phir din ko kamana, raat ko khana, subah ko pakhana. To insan kya hua? Pakhane banane ka machine. That on Qiyamah Day Allah will ask how much stool you made. Allah, that's not why Allah put us in this world. How much number one we made, how much number two. So that is Rabb, the Allahu Akbar. And that when we are born, He didn't give us all our water with us. He didn't give us all our rice with us, all our oil, your whole life what you're going to eat. Here's your quota, finish, you go. What should we do? Wherever we're going, we're going to be going Arafat for Hajj. Allah is making our intizam, sending our rozi advance. Farishtas are working. What infrastructure of Allah? We are going for Jamaat to Paraguay. Allah is sending our Jamaat there. My banda is coming after 40 days, but all his rozi must be sent there. Allahu Akbar. How Allah Ta'ala. So how can't we may not make the ibadat of Allah? It is totally inconceivable that we don't become die-hard slaves of Allah. U'budu Rabbakum. Then Allah spelled it out. Alladhi khalaqakum. He is the one who created you. And He created you from there. Huwa a'lamu bikum. Idh ansha'akum min al-ard. From the earth. From there Allah made you already and He knows you. وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. When you knew nothing of yourself, your mother didn't know anything, it's a boy, it's a girl. What is it? Allah says, you are أَعْلَمُ. Allah knew you perfectly well. Allah knew you properly from that time already. Where you going to go in your life? Which countries you will be going? Where will you be born? Where will you die? Whether you'll be a rich man, poor man, whether sometime rich, sometime, when will you be happy? When will you be sad? Wa a'lamu bikum. Allah knows everything. So how can't we turn to such a Allah? Surrender to such a Allah. And a person who really surrenders, Allahu Akbar. Once I went to Pakistan from India when I was studying for tafsir of Quran, etc. And then, just to make it short, when I was returning, you needed a road permit if you returned by foot, if you return. And they gave me a road permit, I went and applied, but it was the wrong one. When I came there, they refused to let me go. And I'd given all my Pakistani money away because now I'm going back to India. I was alone, nobody with me. And a whole trunk of kitabs with me. And reached there, it was now going to go for Maghrib. Asr, I just made. After Asr, what strength Allah put back in. Before that I was finished. What's going to happen? Here on the border. The border people don't stay on the border at night. Anyway, I went back to Lahore. The last little, I can't remember now, I had that money or somebody helped me or the bus driver did me a favor and he took me to Lahore. There were some American friends with whom we had association. They were standing there, Muslim people. And then I told them, see, I got nothing now. You people have to look up. They looked after me so well. So a person who tells Allah, I got nothing. I got no brains. I got no money. Allah, I'm surrendering to you. See how Allah, oh Allah, I got these problems in my life. I got no solution to these problems. I'm handing myself over to you. A person who hands himself to Allah, Allah takes him more than what all the mothers of the world will take one baby and look after it. Allah will look after you. And as long as you want to chalawa your own, do your own thing, Allah leaves you, let him go. Let's see how far he goes and what he gets done. And when you surrender to Allah, Allah takes over. So he is the one. Alladhi khalaqakum. And not only you, walladhina min qablikum. If you think my parents made me, if a mother made us, if mother says, I made this baby, in my factory this baby was made. Every mother wants a child to be the most beautiful child of the world. But is every child the most beautiful? If she was making, definitely she should have made a child. Whatever she thinks is beauty, blue-eyed. Many people think blue-eyed is beauty. The Quran Sharif says, وَيَوْمَ نَحْشُ زُرْقَ that on the day of Qiyamah, the sinners will be brought up with blue eyes. The eyes will have a blue, a black eye is the most beautiful eye. It's a complete, perfect formed eye. Any other light color, that eye has was not formed completely. That's why it is light brown, it is grey, it is green, and we like all that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's eyes were black eyes. The hours of Jannah, perfect, beautiful, black eyed houris of Jannah. Hey, those say that is the most, today our taste is different. We have lost our taste completely. We don't know what it is. So anyway, every mother would want her child to be the most beautiful. The hair must be, the most beautiful hair is black hair. But we will want blonde, we will want brunette or whatever else it is. Allah is the father. He would want my, every son of mine must be the richest man in the world. He must be the most intelligent, but it doesn't happen. If it was we making, we should have made it like that. It's not in our hands. Allah is the make. And the father, he can be the topmost cardiologist of the world. But his own heart is not in his hands. Where is he going to make the heart of the baby? Has any father claimed today, I made the, my baby's heart. And I made it a perfect heart. It will not have, 100 years, no problem. The machine will work properly. Or the father is an optometrist, I made the eyes of my baby. No, nothing. Allah is the only one who took responsibility. Today a bomb goes off anywhere, some groups reclaim responsibility. Nobody has claimed responsibility for the making of a child. Only Allah has claimed. And over Allah has taken, and with stress and with qasam Allah has taken the responsibility. I made this human being. So it's Allah Ta'ala. Alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum. And all this exercise, for what did Allah do it? La'allakum tattaqoon. So that you fear Allah. You observe the commands of Allah. A whole exercise of the creation of the heavens and the earth, the diamonds and the pearls, the rubies and the gold, whatever it is, all the types of food, the transport, all this, the final crux of it is that we obey Allah. We become His true servants. If we can bring that within our lives, we have found everything. Ramzan was that month to bring it into us, to highlight it, to bring it in the forefront, to make full effort that we become total slaves of Allah Ta'ala. We don't use our brains, we become humble in front of Allah. Tawadu, that is abdiyat, that we don't have this pride in us, that why you made 30 rozas, I'm upset with you, Ya Allah. That why we had all our arrangements made. What and what? We were going to cross the border by this time already. All arrangements we made. But Ya Allah, why you spoiled our whole plans? We had our ticket. Now, as slave, we accept wholeheartedly. What Allah has done, we accept it. That is a banda of Allah Ta'ala. So this is for what our life is, and this is the first command of the Quran. If we haven't still brought the first Quran, hey, like in Anwar al-Salah we read, where Hadrat says that don't go on to the next Anwar until the first Anwar you have brought it into your life. So the first ayat, the first command, if we haven't practiced, and if we bring this, the whole Quran becomes easy. Then to observe any command of Allah, whatever, to observe parda, to observe, to stay away from interest, once this abdiyat and that taqwa has come into us, the whole Quran becomes easy. And without that, you can gain all the knowledge of the Quran, but to practice on anything will be too hard for you. We'll have problems with every command of Allah Ta'ala. A lady says, nice little long dress till below her knee. Does this modest dressing? Why must I wear a hijab? Using your own brains, everything. A woman says, it's my body. I can do with it what I want to. Did you make your body? And a Muslim woman says, my body, I can use it as I want to. You're a rich man. My millions, it's my money. I can, my daughter's wedding, I'll make it as I want to. I call a film star from Bollywood, and he walks my daughter and my son-in-law, the husband-to-be, also allows like a day use that a non-Muslim strange man was walk my wife to the stage, and I pay him ₹1 million for it. And that went 20 years ago, which may be equal to ₹20 million today. Hey, and you pay for it, it's my money, I'll do what I want to. Maulana, you don't tell me anything. My friend, it's not your money. It's an amanat in your hand which Allah has given you. This if we can realize, my time is an amanat, my money is an amanat, whatever capabilities your ilm, in the ilm in indi, my knowledge, I did this. No, that also Allah gave you. It's all amanat. Use it as Allah wants you to use it. Don't become arrogant, don't become boastful, don't become obstinate, don't become stubborn. Everything. This is the first command of Allah. If this reality can come into us, if Ramzan can bring 1% of this in us, oh, we are kings in this world and the akhirat also. May Allah make it. Let us make lot of tawbah, istighfar now, and ask Allah forgiveness, and that Allah makes our lives, and that we work towards changing ourselves and our families also, and in a nice suitable way. And one advice I can give, people ask for advice, go home with a rose, and you can't get a rose now, I'm sure you can get a chocolate. Go home and then not only give the chocolate to your wife, put one piece in your mouth and from your mouth put it into her mouth. Mother Fasuddin, inshallah, go home, Malana, from Petrotip, Malana Musa Rahmani. He made one nikah, one friend told us, his, Allah give him shifa, he's also very old now. So they were shocked in those days, maybe 50 years ago, 60. After he made nikah, he performed the nikah. The girl's name was Maimuna. He said, now you go and make love to Maimuna. He said, after nikah, go make love to your wife. Go from here, go make love to your wife. Make her happy. Hey, and then, inshallah, every department of our life look up. Don't go there now like big buzurgs. Hey? And we don't even ask them how they are, how did your 10 days pass without me, how did your month pass, no, how you all right, how we didn't have any problem, any difficulty, Allah reward you, you made sabr, you stayed without me, go and speak to them nicely and take one chocolate. And go and give it to them, and not from your hand you give them the slab of chocolate, but from your mouth you put it in their mouth, inshallah. Our Shaykh Ramad, and even if your wife is old, our Shaykh say, if your wife is old also, go and tell her, hey, Mary Buriya, oh my old lady, she's a Buriya now, old lady, Mary Sakkar ki Puriya, my bag of sugar, wah, Mary Guriya, what a doll I have got. And if she feels offended that you called her an old lady, Hazrat say, don't say the first sentence. If she doesn't like, you must call her, hey, Mary Buriya, don't say, say, Mary Sakkar ki Puriya, my bag of sugar, wah, Mary Guriya, what a doll I have got. And then just keep on saying, you will see Allah will make a real doll in your eyes. You will never look at any other doll then. You will just look at this doll of yours. And she will be your most world, or in this world she will be. And whole life, even in old age, may Allah accept us, inshallah, to bring the whole of deen and implement it. Wa akhiru da'wana.